Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
The subject that's on my heart this morning is the importance of the name of God and the importance of us calling on the name of the Lord. If you will, turn in your Bibles first to Genesis chapter 4. Sometimes I think people just concentrate on one or two verses in the Bible on any particular subject, and that's all they know about, that's all they think about. I think that's true of the subject of calling on the name of the Lord. Probably the most quoted verse of Scripture is, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But I want you to know that in all ages of the world, there have been people of God who have been calling on the name of the Lord. It didn't have anything at all to do with going to heaven when you die. And I want us to look at the name of the Lord, the importance of the name of the Lord, and look at calling on the name of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 4, the last verse of Scripture in that chapter, Genesis 4 and verse 26, the Word of God says, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." This was the beginning. The Bible says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, as we study the Bible, we find that God is known by a lot of different names. The one that is mentioned most of the time, at least in the Old Testament, is Yahweh. Yahweh, and I may not pronounce that exactly right, but as I pronounce some of the names of God that God was known by, I just want you to know that these are some names that God was known by, and these are the names that many of the people of God have called on God. When they called on God, they would say they would be calling on Yahweh and praying for Yahweh God to help them and bless them. Let me interject this. God's name is not and has never been Muhammad or Buddha or any of the other false gods of this world. When we talk about calling on the name of the Lord, we're talking about calling on the name of the one true and living God, the God of heaven and earth, the one that spoke this world into existence. So one of the names of God is Yahweh. Another name, we sing this sometimes, El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the name of God. It's used about 7 times in the Bible. Yahweh is used about 6,500 times in the Bible. But El Shaddai means Lord God Almighty. Another name of God was Adonai. We also sing about that. And that means Lord and Master. So there were many, many times the people of God called on Adonai, meaning Lord and Master. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah, let me just say, Jehovah is a name that God is often called. Jehovah, and then there would be another part of that name or something added to that name, like Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. But Jehovah is a name of God. The Word of God talks about in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the Word of God says, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, you take any one of those, and that is His name. He is the Everlasting Father. When we begin our prayer that we pray every time we come together, we begin by saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Well, that Father, that's His name. That's His position. That's our relationship. He's our Heavenly Father. And the Bible says, "Hallowed be Thy name." Let me tell you something, brethren. You better not be using the name of God in a slanderous or in an offhanded way. We'll be looking at that in a few minutes. But I just want you to know that the name of God, of course, the name of God that is above every name, the name of God that we look to today, the name of God we call on today the most, is Jesus. That is the name of God. And so we call on His name. We ought to be meditating on the name of the Lord. We ought to be thinking about the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord ought to be in our minds all the time. Every time you're in trouble, you need to call on the name of the Lord. Every time you need help, every time you're tempted, you need to call on the name of the Lord. Call on Jesus. Jesus is able to help you no matter what your troubles or what your problems are. You need to call on the name of the Lord. Call His name. I meditated just on the name Jesus a lot this week. Came up with a lot of different words for each of the letters in His name. For example, I thought about Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. And I thought about the J would be for Jesus. Jesus, eternal Savior, understander, or understands and strengthens. He's my Savior. He understands and He strengthens. J-E-S-U-S. And just meditate and think about the name of Jesus. It's a name above every name, even on the names of God. Jesus is the best name. Now, people began to call on the name of the Lord. When you think about people calling on the name of the Lord, what comes to your mind when you think about somebody calling on the name of the Lord? Prayer. I think most of the time that's what we think about, and I think most of the time in the Scriptures that's what it's talking about. Whether it's calling on the name of the Lord in prayer of praise and worship, that's calling on the name of the Lord. We should have, before we came into the house of God today, we should have been calling on the name of the Lord, saying, Lord, we love You. We want to worship You. Help us today. That's what Peter said when he was beginning to sink. He said, Lord, save us. Save us. He needed to be saved. He didn't need Jesus to die on the cross right then. What he needed right then was somebody to help him out of the trouble he was in. I think most of the time that I call on the name of the Lord, the most of the times that I call fervently on the name of the Lord are times when I need Him the most. I need His help. And the more that I realize how weak I am, and the more I realize how much I need God, and I know God is omnipotent, the more I'm going to be calling on His name. Every day when I get up, I need to call on the name of the Lord. I need to call on His name and I need to thank my Father. I need to thank my Lord Jesus. I need to thank God for sparing me and my family through the night. I need to thank God for all the ways that He's going to help me that day. Whether you realize it or not, God is the one that spared you through last night and your family. And God is the one who enabled you to be in the house of the Lord today. I know that we have all these here from the nursing home, and I know that they know that without God's help, they would not be able to be here. But I want everybody here to know it doesn't matter how young or old you are, doesn't matter what your condition is physically, if God had not been with you, if God had not helped you, you would not be here today. The Lord is our helper. We need to lift up our eyes to the Lord. We need to call on the name of the Lord. Lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help and call on the name of the Lord. Jesus, I need You. So men began in Genesis 4 and verse 26, the Word of God says, then began men to call on the name of the Lord. I think it's wonderful to just go right back to the first time that we have a record that men began to call on the name of the Lord. As we go through the Bible, we're in Genesis chapter 4 right here. Who is the next great man of God that we read about in the book of Genesis? Well, we read about Noah in chapter 6, and Noah called on the name of the Lord. And then who's the next great man of God that we read about in the book of Genesis? We read about Abraham. Abraham was a great man of God, and the Bible repeatedly says that whatever Abraham was doing, if he went to worship, when he went to worship, he called on the name of the Lord. And whenever he would be in trouble, he would call on the name of the Lord. And whatever he was doing, he was calling on the name of the Lord. Hallowed be Thy name. Don't use it casually, but every day you need to call on the name of the Lord. So Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the great saints of God, they've always called on the name of the Lord. It's not something new in the New Testament where God all of a sudden started saying, call on the name of the Lord. They've always called. God's people have always been calling on the name of the Lord. And because God taught them to call on the name of the Lord, and because they were regularly calling on the name of the Lord, when you get to Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments are given, God was warning them that when you call on the name of the Lord, you better be careful about using the name of the Lord. Turning your Bibles to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. And I wish we had about 3 weeks and I would, where you could just sit here nonstop for 3 weeks, because I would love to preach all the way through the Bible. I would love to preach out of every chapter of the Bible about calling on the name of the Lord, because it's all the way through the Bible. We don't have time to do that, but Lord willing, today we're going to go from Genesis to Revelation looking at calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. Using the name of the Lord. The importance of the name of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 20, as we come to Mount Sinai, and God begins to give the Ten Commandments, we come down to verse 7. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, the Word of God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, there are 2 points here. Number one, you are to call on the name of the Lord. You're to concentrate on the name of the Lord. You're to think about the name of the Lord. But sometimes when we do a lot of something, we tend to lose respect for it. Sometimes when we call on the name of the Lord a lot, sometimes the name of the Lord begins to lose its reverence. Psalm 111 and verse 9 says, holy and reverend is his name. And let me say this, that's the only time the word reverend is ever used in the Bible. It's Psalm 111 and verse 9. It does not say you're to ever call me reverend. In fact, I'm telling you, don't you ever call a man reverend. The Bible says holy and reverend is God's name. And first of all, you need to elevate his name in your heart and in your mind. You need to be praising his name. You need to give glory to the name of the Lord. You need to know that his name, God's name, is holy and reverend. Therefore, he's warning us now, after he's taught us, you need to call on the name of the Lord. You need to think on the name of the Lord. Now he says, now, warning, don't you take the name of the Lord in vain. My grandmother, Mims, she would often say, oh, Lord. You know, she would be at the kitchen washing dishes and drop a dish, and she would say, oh, Lord. And my daddy would get so upset. He would say, Mama, you just use the name of the Lord in vain. Now, sometimes we think that using the name of the Lord in vain means that you're cursing and use God's name in vain. I believe any time the name, any name of the Lord comes out of your mouth, and you're not thinking about God and reverencing that name, you're using the name of the Lord in vain. You might be so proud that you pray every time, or that you say a blessing every time you have a meal, but I'm telling you that if you're praying those prayers and you're not thinking about the name of the Lord, and you're just saying some words, and you say, thank you for this food we're about to receive, bless it in the name of Jesus, amen. And we sit down and close out that prayer, and we haven't thought about the blessed, holy, reverend name we've just used. That's using the name of the Lord in vain. So praying is right. Praying is good. And you are to ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. But you better be thinking about what you're saying every time his name comes out of your mouth. When you sing songs, you better be thinking about what's coming out of your mouth, or else you can be singing songs and actually be taking the name of the Lord in vain repeatedly while you're singing. The name of the Lord needs to be called on. The name of the Lord needs to be thought about. The name of the Lord needs to be holy and reverend in our minds and in our hearts. Call on the name of the Lord. You need him, and he can help you, and you need to call on his name. Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll read about David. We've already mentioned Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and some of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament and how they all called on the name of the Lord because they needed God's help and they wanted to worship God and they wanted to praise God and acknowledge they need God's help. Now we come to David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You remember how when David was going out against that giant Goliath and Goliath mocked David and made fun of David because David came to him. He didn't have on armor. He didn't have a shield. All he had was a sling and five smooth stones. And he went out to meet the giant Goliath. When he went out to meet that giant, here's what the giant said to David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look, please, beginning in verse 43. And the Philistine, that's Goliath, said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Are there a lot of different gods in this world today? Have there always been a lot of different little G-O-D-S? Yes. And if you'll look at yourself real closely, you'll find a few bad gods in your life. You need to get rid of those gods. So he cursed David by his gods. Verse 44 says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Verse 45 says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Listen, brethren, when David went out, he found that there was great power in the name of the Lord. Whatever you do, you need to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Wherever you go, you need the Lord's help. You need to go forth from this building today. You need to go forth in the name of the Lord. Everything you face in your life this coming week, I ask you to do what David did right here as he went against this giant. You need to go in the name of the Lord. You need to know that without God's help, you're going to fall and fail. And that with God's help, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My hope and my prayer, my desire is that we would realize the importance of us going everywhere we go and in everything we do, we would do it in the name of the Lord. Now, after David has done it right here, and of course he had done it when he fought the lion and the bear too, but he had done it many other times in his life. But I want you to go to 2 Samuel because I want you to notice in 2 Samuel chapter 22, I want you to listen to what David says here as David is speaking unto the Lord and singing unto the Lord and worshiping God. Here's part of the song that he sang as he sang to the Lord and as he worshiped God. And he was also teaching people by this song. And we're learning today, still learning, because of this song that David wrote. And here's what David said in 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 4. 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 4, the Word of God says, and this is part of David's song. David says, I will call on the Lord. Hear that? Call on the Lord. Just stop and answer this question. Was he calling on the name of the Lord so he could go to heaven when he died? Was Abraham calling on the name of the Lord so he could go to heaven when he died? Brethren, you just don't find. I want you to know we need to call on the name of the Lord every day. And so David in this song says, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved. Oh, is he going to get saved by calling on the name of the Lord? Y-E-S. And you'll be saved by calling on the name of the Lord. And Peter was saved when he was about to drown by calling on the name of the Lord. And you'll go down and you'll perish if you don't call on the name of the Lord. So in this psalm, David says, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now listen to what he says God does to the enemies. Verse 5, he says, when the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Did he get afraid? What's a good verse for when you get afraid? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Are you going to get afraid sometime? If you don't think you ever get afraid, you're going to experience something pretty quickly that you're going to realize, yes, I am afraid. You think you can handle everything? Fasten your seatbelt. You're going to face some things in this life you can't handle. You'll go all to pieces without God's help in your life. You need to know and learn that calling on the name of the Lord does save God's people. He says, verse 5, when the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me. Was he talking about eternal hell? Absolutely not. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. What was he doing? He was crying unto the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord. Did God save him? Absolutely. Sometimes we have a lot of trouble in our lives because we try to handle things ourselves. Have you ever tried to walk in your own strength? Have you ever tried to face the problems of life? Have you ever tried to overcome Satan by yourself? You know who always wins when you try to overcome Satan by yourself? Satan will win every time. You cannot by yourself. You cannot defeat the devil. You cannot by yourself. You cannot resist the devil. You need to call on the name of the Lord. Every time you face temptation, every time you're depressed, every time you're discouraged, every time you have trouble, call on the name of the Lord. Go with me very quickly in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Listen carefully. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. We're just kind of hitting some high spots as we're going through the Bible about calling on the name of the Lord. Just to establish that this is not some New Testament truth that just started to happen. It's something that all ages of the world, God's people, have been calling on the name of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, listen to the scripture. Isaiah, by inspiration of God, in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, Isaiah says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Can you sometimes seek the Lord and not find him? Brethren, Job experienced that. Job said, "I go forward and I go backward. I go to the left and the right. I look all around me. I know God's working, but I cannot find him." Have you ever been lost? And by the way, the only time the word lost is used in the Bible is not in reference to people who are going to die and go to hell. The people that are lost are God's children that have gotten away from the Lord. They get lost. You ever been lost? That songwriter says, "I once was lost, and I didn't find my way, brethren. I once was lost and now found." I was found by God. Every time I've ever gone astray, every time I've ever been lost, just like that prodigal son that left his father's house and the father said, "This my son was lost." Was he always a son? If he had died in the hog pen, would he still been his father's son? Absolutely. "This my son was lost and is found." So when you get lost, what's a child do when a child gets lost in a story? Any of you ever had your child get lost? What are they going to do? You know what you're going to do? Yeah, you'd holler, "Daddy, help." Listen, brethren, I get lost a lot of times in this world. I have to call on the name of the Lord. I'm lost. Help me. I need help. I'm weak. I need help. If you've ever been so sick you couldn't put one foot in front of another one, you know what it is to be so weak that you need to cry out, "Help! Help!" And in all of our lives, spiritually, we experience those things repeatedly where we need to call on the name of the Lord. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, the Word of God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Call ye upon him. You hear that second part of that verse? Call ye upon him while he is near. You need to call. Don't get far away from God and just keep running and running. When you realize that you're away from God, sit down, stop everything, and call on the name of the Lord right then. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord while he is near. Call on the name of the Lord while he may be found. Now, go to Malachi very quickly. Look in your Bibles. We've got to go through the New Testament too, and we may have to jump to Revelation, but I want to stop in Malachi because this is one of the most beautiful expressions found in God's Word. In Malachi chapter 3, Malachi, and please follow this. Listen carefully. We won't go any further. We'll just stop right here, but listen. I want you to get Malachi 3. It's very, 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 very important. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. Then we'll get to the New Testament if the Lord blesses us maybe tonight. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. The Word of God says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that, and there's two things that got their name in the book of remembrance, them that feared the Lord and that, what are the next four words? Thought upon his name. Thought upon his name. Yahweh, Adonai, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Think about that name. Something about that name. Something about all the names of God. His name is precious. His name is wonderful. Those that thought upon his name, there was a book of remembrance written. Those that feared God and those that thought upon his name. If you're not thinking upon his name, and I'm going to tell you, brethren, until the past week or two in studying this subject, I will have to admit that me thinking upon the name of the Lord has probably been 10 times as much in the past 2 weeks as it was any week before that. I call on the name of the Lord. I pray a lot. But just thinking on his name, just think about his name. You know where it ought to be? It ought to be in your mind all the time. In fact, I'm just going to give you a hint. In the book of Revelation, when it talks about those in the kingdom of heaven, it says God's name is in their foreheads. And the mark of the beast is on other people's forehead, but the seal of God is in the forehead. You know what's right inside your forehead? It's your thought process, and your memory is right there in the front part, the frontal lobe of your brain, thinking upon his name. Verse 17 says, and they shall be mine. Who's going to be his? Who is it that God's going to testify? He's mine. Those that fear the Lord and think upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. You know what these people do? They fear God. They think upon his name. And what's the third thing now he brings in? They serve him. Verse 18 says, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Now, who are the righteous? Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. May God help us to think on his name. Fear the Lord, think on his name, and serve him. May God help us to do it because of what God has done for us and what God will do for us when we follow his word. May God help us to think about the importance of the name of the Lord and the importance of us calling on the name of the Lord every day is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. Now, on to the second message for today, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
This morning we began looking at the importance of the Word of God and the importance of us calling on the name of the Lord. I want us to continue that thought tonight. I do not believe it can be overemphasized how important it is for us to understand the magnitude and the majesty of the name of the Lord. I mentioned this morning there are a lot of different names that we might look at, but the main one we're going to look at tonight is the name Jesus. We spent the whole morning looking at the Old Testament and how the people of God in the Old Testament, they called on the name of the Lord repeatedly, and God saved them. God delivered them over and over and over again as they called on the name of the Lord. And I want to encourage everybody here that every time you have trouble, you need to call on the Lord. And every time that you want to go and worship God, you need to call on the Lord. And every time that you need comfort, you need to call on the name of the Lord. And every time that you need strength to overcome temptation, you need to call on the name of the Lord. And every time you need anything, you need to call on the name of the Lord. There's power in the name of the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Old Testament. Notice again verse 16. The Word of God says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. We are commanded to fear the Lord. I don't think that many people today fear the Lord. I doubt that any of us fear the Lord as much as we ought to. I doubt that we reverence God as much as we ought to. The Bible says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Old and New Testaments tell us to fear God. So he says that there's going to be this book of remembrance that was written, and that's recorded here in Malachi chapter 3, a book of remembrance for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And I certainly don't think we fear the Lord enough, but I know that I don't think on his name enough. And I pray that God will help me. I want to do better. I found great joy in the past couple of weeks just in thinking on the name of the Lord. As I thought about this book of remembrance that was written, and then I examined my life, I thought, well, my name wouldn't be in that book because I don't spend a lot of time thinking on the name of the Lord. I might fear God, but I know I don't fear him enough, but I certainly don't think on the name of the Lord enough. So I hope that God will impress on our minds this morning and tonight, impress on our hearts the importance of us thinking on the name of the Lord. I think about when that angel came to Joseph and said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Did you know the names in the Bible usually had great meaning? There was a reason that his name was going to be called Jesus. We went to the Old Testament. Joshua is the way that Jesus would have been, if it had been written in the Old Testament, it would have been recorded Joshua. In fact, Joshua, as the New Testament makes a reference to Joshua from the Old Testament, it says Jesus in the New Testament. It's talking about Joshua in the Old Testament. And whenever Moses chose those 12 spies, those 12 men to go into the land of Canaan, and Joshua was one of those 12 that he chose. At that time, His name was Oshea, O-S-H-E-A. His name was Oshea. And the word Oshea means, "Let God save." Moses said, "I will not call you Oshea." Moses said, "I refuse to call you Oshea, but your name will be Jehoshua," or Joshua, which means "God shall save." There's a big difference in that name Oshea and the name Joshua or Jesus. And that's the reason that when the angel came to Joseph, he said, his name, the name that's going to be born of that Virgin Mary, that child's name will be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Brethren, Jesus accomplished what he came to do. Jesus didn't come and try to save or offer to save. He came to save his people from their sins, and he accomplished what he came to do. When he cried out, "It is finished," and when he hung on the cross of Calvary, and when he shed his blood for our sins, he had saved us from our sins. He completed the work that he came to do. His name was called Jesus because his main work on this earth was to save his people from their sins. That's the reason the name was Jesus. God shall save, and God did save his people from their sins. So that's the reason his name was Jesus. Now, that name Jesus is the most important name of God, I believe, that there is in all the Bible. Yahweh, Jehovah, and all the other names that we might look at, none of those names compared to this one name, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Now let's begin with the New Testament. Remember now that the Old Testament, it's very, very significant that you remember that the Old Testament closed with this fact that there was going to be a book of remembrance about those that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. I want to tell you, you need to be thinking about Jesus every day. You need to have Jesus on your mind and on your heart. Let's go to the book of Acts. I want us to just spend a few minutes looking at the book of Acts. I want you to see that everything that the apostles did, they did it all in the name of Jesus. When I was a young preacher, about 27, 28 years old, all the letters that the preachers wrote back and forth to each other, and I've got my grandfather's letters from probably 70, 80 years ago, and those letters all began the same way. They would all begin, doesn't matter whether they were writing to me or I would write to them. I learned to write this at the beginning of the letter. The first sentence of almost all the letters that I ever received or that I sent back then all began, "Greetings in the name of our Lord Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You go back and read all the old writings. They would begin by greetings in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. They thought upon His name. They stressed the importance of the name of Jesus. They would greet you in the name of Jesus. As I come to preach, I come to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. When I go to pray, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And all that we do, it's to be done remembering that name in the name of Jesus. I want to remind you again that when Jesus sent out the apostles to baptize, He said, "And as you go, preach and teach and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Baptize them in the name, not names, but in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's Matthew chapter 28. That's one of the last words that Jesus gave to His apostles before He ascended back to the Father, was for them to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then when you go all the way through the book of Acts, every time that they baptized, the scripture says, they baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, did they disobey the words of Christ from Matthew 28? No. The name Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You go back and read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 as it prophesies the coming of Christ. It says that Jesus, His name, the name of Jesus shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's the name of Jesus. Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." Talking about the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus tonight. And that all that the apostles did, they did it in the name of Jesus Christ. Look now in your Bibles at Acts chapter 2. As Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he's telling those people that they had crucified Jesus Christ. Peter is preaching, "I want you to see the importance of the name of the Lord and calling on the name of the Lord." I want you to see that when they began to do things in the New Testament, they did everything they did in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37, the Word of God says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now Peter has just told them that same Jesus whom they had crucified, God had made Him both Lord and Christ. He says, "You killed Him, but He rose from the grave, and now today He is both Lord and Christ." I'll tell you, He's still that today. He is King of kings and Lord of lords today. I'm afraid that too many of God's people don't realize that Jesus is alive right now, and that Jesus is alive right here, and that Jesus is judging His people according to their works. He is the King right now. Jesus is the King of His kingdom. We talk a lot about the kingdom of heaven. Sister Nell from Salvation Army told me on the way out the door, she said, "One thing Brother David always wanted me to understand was the kingdom of heaven." She said, he would give me a book, he would talk to me about the kingdom of heaven. He wanted me to understand the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you why he wanted her to understand that, because if you don't understand that, you cannot understand the rest of the New Testament. Let me tell you something. Every time you preach about the kingdom of heaven, every time you teach about the kingdom of heaven, you've got to remember that there's a king, and that king is Jesus. And everything about the kingdom of heaven revolves around the head of that kingdom. It revolves around Jesus Christ. He says, "Now, that same Jesus that you crucified, God has made Him both Lord and Christ." And when they heard that, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, "Men and brethren, what can we do? We have killed the King of kings and Lord of lords, and He's now reigning and ruling. What can we do?" Here's Peter's answer, Acts 2, verse 38. Look at your Bibles, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Here's what Peter told them they could do. Acts 2, 38, he says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Do you hear what he said? The scripture says that Peter told these people who wanted to know what they can do, he said, "Repent." Now remember, think just a minute. What does Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 say that book of remembrance was about? Whose names were written in that book? Those that what? What was the first thing? Those that feared the Lord. And what was the second thing? Those that thought upon his name. Did you know that's the same message Peter is giving right here? When he said, repent. You know, the only people that will repent, the only people who will repent are those that fear the Lord. The only people who are going to repent are those that know they are sinning against the God of heaven and earth. The only people that are going to repent are those that have been shown the truth about how great God is and what sinners we are, and that God is judging us according to our works. And that'll cause you to what? That'll cause you to repent. So Peter's message to them, repent for, and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Do you think it is pleasing to God for you to be baptized? Do you think God has commanded you to be baptized? God has commanded you to be baptized. And he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So I first want you to remember, we're going to list at least five or six things that I want you to remember as you leave here tonight. Things that the Bible, the New Testament says, these are things that are to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. The first one is that we're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The second thing is in the next chapter, Acts chapter 3. You'll notice Acts chapter 3, and you're familiar with this. I'm not going to read all these verses because you already know them. But Acts 3 verses 1 through 6, the Word of God here tells us about a lame man that was laying outside the temple. And he was asking alms. And as Peter and John began to go into the temple, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Watch the wording in verse 6. Verse 6 said, then Peter said, silver and gold. This is Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Do you see the power? There's power in his name. Peter reached down then and took the man by the right hand. He had just said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. And the man was lifted up and began to dance and shout and rejoice because of what Jesus had done for him. It wasn't Peter. It was the name of Jesus that made a difference in that man's life. The lame were made to walk. The blind were able to see. You know what happened every time the blind were able to see? You know how they did that? In the name of Jesus, they were touched. The deaf were able to hear. How did that happen? In the name of Jesus, they were touched. The dumb that could not talk, they were able to speak. You know how? Because in the name of Jesus, the power of God was manifest. It was in his name. The Father is pleased to honor the Son and for things to be done in the Son's name. So it was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that that man was healed. And brethren, I'll tell you this today. The name of Jesus still heals people today. The power of God still heals people today. It's in the name of Jesus. A lot of you in this building have been touched by the power of God. Not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. There are a lot of you that have gotten away from God, and then in the name of Jesus Christ, you were touched by the power of God and brought back. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that not only saved me 2,000 years ago, but it's the amazing grace and power of God. It's the name of Jesus that saved me 2,000 years ago, and it's the name of Jesus that has saved me time and time and time again in my life here on this earth. I've been healed physically. I've been healed spiritually. I've been healed emotionally. I've been healed many, many different times in my life in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you pray for someone, I want you to know you better do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's the only name whereby men are saved, is the name of Jesus. If you want deliverance, it's going to be in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, after this man had been healed, the lame man had been healed. In Acts chapter 4, then the apostles were about to be judged because they had spoken the name of Jesus. They weren't supposed to speak his name. They had been commanded, don't talk about Jesus. Now, they might have cowered down. They might have gone around and said, well, I hope that God will heal you. They could have stopped using the name Jesus. I'll tell you, brethren, once they came to know the power of the name Jesus, if they had reverted back and just talked about Jehovah or some other name of God, it would not have had the effect of calling on the name of Jesus. Because that is the name that you're to call on today. And that's the name you're to do things in today. And when you're praying, you need to pray in the name of Jesus. And when you're praying for your children, you need to say, in the name of Jesus, I pray that God will help you to live a righteous life. All of you parents that have children, you better be thinking on Jesus' name, because that's the name you need to raise those children. You can't raise them by yourself. You better be thinking upon His name. In Acts chapter 4, as they came to Peter and the apostles, and they began to ask them, look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. The scripture says in Acts 4 verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? You know what? They were threatening them when they said, by what name have you done this? They were threatening them because, did you know, before the resurrection of Jesus, Peter would have made up some other story than he does right here. Before the resurrection of Jesus, Peter was a scared man. But after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter was begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ. And the fear that Peter had before the crucifixion of Christ, that fear was gone after the resurrection of Christ. And Peter was now willing to say, when they said, by what name have you healed this man? By what power or by what name have you done this? Peter, listen, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what he has when he has the Holy Ghost? He has power. He has boldness. He's not afraid. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He wasn't ashamed, was he? And he wasn't afraid. And if they were going to put him to death for saying that, he was ready to die. Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Jesus makes this statement. If you deny me before men, if you're ashamed of his name before men, he will not carry your prayers to the Father. He'll deny you before the Father. Don't you ever be ashamed to call on the name of Jesus. Don't you ever be ashamed to lift up the name of Jesus. There was a time that this United States of America declared that we are a Christian nation. You go back to the early documents of this nation and you'll find the name of Jesus is declared over and over and over. In almost every document that's there, you'll find this name, Jesus. Because our fathers understood that the God of heaven and earth is pleased when His people fear Him and think upon His name. It was a miracle what God did to form this United States of America. You can't look back at the history of our nation and doubt the sovereign power of God that was at work in the founding documents, in the Constitution of the United States. You can't look back at the history of America and not see the hand of Jesus everywhere. They weren't ashamed of His name, but oh, how far we've gone. At first, we compromised on the name Jesus, and we backed up and said, well, we won't talk about Jesus. I've been asked to pray at different kinds of meetings sometimes, been in the state legislature and in different places that I've been asked to pray. And sometimes people would say, now, if you will, we've got a lot of different kinds of people here, and if you will, don't pray in Jesus' name. I said, you need to get somebody else to pray, because if I pray, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. He's my Savior. He's the only one that carries the prayers. He's the only mediator between God and man. Don't tell me don't pray in the name of Jesus. Don't tell me not to preach in the name of Jesus. Don't tell me not to do everything. Don't tell me not to do anything in the name of Jesus. Don't tell me not to do that, because I have to do everything in the name of Jesus. Look at Acts, turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. I love to think about Acts 7. I just rejoice in Stephen. I hope that one day, if I'm ever put on the firing line like Stephen was, I hope that I can do what Stephen did. I hope I can stand, it doesn't matter who it is, I hope I can stand there and say, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, as your fathers did resist the Holy Ghost, so do ye. And tell the people exactly the way it is. And then when they began to stone Stephen and hated him so much, the scripture says in verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Now, You might say, well, he backed up there. He just called on the name of God. No, no, watch carefully. Stephen was calling upon God and saying, he didn't say Father. What did he say? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord. What was he doing? He was calling on the name of the Lord. He was calling on Jesus' name. He was thinking about Jesus even while he was being crucified. Oh, how he thought about Jesus, and he was reminded how Jesus prayed for those people that killed him. And he got such a good, clear picture of Jesus that he actually prayed for those people who were killing him. Amazing man, this man Stephen. Verse 60 says, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Brethren, if you have to face pain, and Stephen was going through pain, real pain right here. If you have to face pain, you have to face persecution. If you have to face death, it doesn't matter what you face. Don't you compromise on the truth of God's word. Don't ever compromise. And no matter what you have to go through, I want you to do what Stephen did. I want you to call on the name of the Lord. Call on God. That's what the Bible says. He called on God and said, here's what he said when he called on God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. That is the name of God. Acts chapter 9. We're going to talk about something else that the Bible says that they did in the name of Jesus. Acts 9 verse 27. The word of God says, but Barnabas took him. This is when Saul of Tarsus had just been converted. And Saul began preaching. Now, Brother Richard, if you had been a Jew, and I was a Jew, and I start preaching, and I say, I want to go to the synagogue where Brother Richard's at, and I want to preach about Jesus. And I stand up and I preach about Jesus. How are you going to feel towards me as a Jew? How are you going to feel towards me as a Jew? You wouldn't like me. And if you were a Gentile, let's say Brother David's happens to be in the same city, and I go out and I preach to the Gentiles in that city. I leave the synagogue and I go and preach to the Gentiles. And Brother David, you're a Gentile now. And I'm preaching about Jesus, and I'm Saul of Tarsus preaching about Jesus. And how are you going to feel? If I say, I want everybody here. Here I am, Saul of Tarsus now. And I say, I want everybody here that believes in the name of Jesus to come walking down here. And I look at you, Brother David, and I say, you going to come, Brother David? Are you going to be a little apprehensive about coming? I hope not, but probably what would probably be a little apprehensive. Do you know why? Because he had just been killing Christians. And most of us would have been at least apprehensive, even if we did go down. So Barnabas intercedes and he says, now, brethren, I've watched this man, Saul of Tarsus. There's been a great conversion take place in his life. And he now really loves Jesus. He is genuine. Here's what he says about this is what Barnabas is saying about Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, verse 27. But Barnabas took him, that is, he took Saul, and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord, how Saul had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him. Jesus spoke to Saul of Tarsus, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He says, I'm telling you, brethren, Saul of Tarsus has been preaching. He's been preaching boldly in the name of Jesus. Now, we mentioned several things that are done in the name of Jesus. What was the first thing that we mentioned from Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that they did in the name of Jesus? Do you remember that? Acts 2:38. What did they do? Being baptized in the name of Jesus. Then in Acts 3 and 4, we talked about how they were healed in the name of Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 7, we saw that in the midst of persecution, in the midst of pain, we saw the power of God manifest in Stephen's life in the name of Jesus, as he called on the name of Jesus. God lifted him up. And now in Acts 9, we read about them preaching, and as they're preaching in the name of Jesus. Now go with me forward in your Bibles. Brethren, let me just say this. I can't go through. I've got to get to Revelation tonight. I've got to close with Revelation. One of the last statements, one of the many statements made about the name of Jesus in the book of Acts, Acts 19, verse 17, the Word of God says that the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. You know why it was magnified? Because the apostles kept talking about the name of Jesus. Because all the disciples, everybody that was hearing about Jesus, they were all talking about the name of the Lord. And everything they were doing in the name of the Lord. And Colossians 3:17 says that whatsoever ye do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, pray, preach, worship, heal, whatever you do, stand up, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go with me quickly in closing to the book of Revelation. One of the things that Jesus did to each of the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, one of the things he did to each of those churches, he commended every one of them. He said, you're doing this right, you're doing this right, you're doing this right, and I'm pleased with this about you, but there's something you need to work on. And did you know that Jesus could say that? If Jesus were to talk to every one of you tonight, he would say, I'm pleased with this, and I'm pleased with this, and you're doing good in this area, but here's something I want you to work on. Here's something you need to improve on. Look at this now. Here's what they were doing right. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. He says to the church at Pergamos, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name. You know who's speaking right here? Jesus is. Jesus is speaking to the church. And what was the one thing that he emphasized they were doing right? They were holding fast his name. Do you hold on fast to his name? Do you realize how important his name is? Hold on to it. Fear God and think on his name. Revelation chapter 3 verse 8, as he commends the church at Philadelphia, he says to the church at Philadelphia, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. You see what he's saying to these churches? One of the great things, one of the wonderful things, one of the best things you're doing is you have not denied the name of Jesus. You're holding fast to the name of Jesus. And that's just what I want to encourage everybody here. Hold on to his name. Don't ever use his name in vain. Don't ever think you can use it like a get out of jail free card. You know what I mean? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. You know what when you call on the name of the Lord, you know what you use? You use your mouth and your lips. And he says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So those five foolish virgins, you remember there were 10 virgins, those five foolish virgins, did they call on the name of the Lord? They said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And the door was shut and he would not open. Did they call on the name of the Lord? But God would not hear their prayer because they had not been living the way that pleased the Lord. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, you can call on the name of the Lord. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, in closing, turn to Revelation 22. Isn't this amazing? I want you to watch this carefully. What was the last thing in the book of Malachi, one of the last things that was there? There was a book of remembrance written. And by the way, this is the same people here. Same kind of people in Revelation 22 are the same people, basically, that are mentioned in Malachi chapter 3. The people that fear God, and what was the other thing they did in Malachi 3? And thought on his name. Remember that. Here we are, the last chapter of the New Testament, the last book of the New Testament. And here's what the scripture says, Revelation chapter 22. For the sake of time, I'll just read verses 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 and 4, the Word of God says, and it's talking about this holy city, the New Jerusalem, the kingdom of heaven. He says in Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. You hear that last wording there? His name shall be, I'm not talking about some tattoo on the forehead here. I'm talking about something in their foreheads. Thinking on the name of Jesus. Your brain, is it thinking about Jesus? Are you thinking about Jesus? Are you meditating on the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. May God help us not only in church and not only in around Christians, but may God help us everywhere we go that we would never be ashamed of the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus would be magnified everywhere we go every day of our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. Lord willing, join us next Sunday. And until then, let's blow the trumpet in Zion. We now rejoin American Family Radio.